there, I'm board-certified professional organizer Kathy Burns. I'm really glad you're here. This podcast is designed for busy entrepreneurs just like you who want to take better control of your business and move forward with less stress and more success. If this is your first time listening, then thanks for coming. The Organize Energize podcast is produced for your enjoyment, and show notes are found at thepodcast.organizeandenergize.com. Come back often and feel free to add this podcast to your favorite RSS feed or iTunes. You can also follow me on Twitter at Organize Energy and Facebook. All links are in the show notes. Now let's get into the show. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. I am excited today to speak with Daniela Wolf. And today we're going to talk about how to set yourself up for success. And here's the important thing, prevent burnout. Yeah. Daniela helps stressed and burnout professionals ditch the guilt and overwhelm and productively manage their time and daily tasks with ease so they have the space and energy for self-care. Yeah, she's speaking my talk, right? Well, she has a licensed master's social worker for over 27 years, working with adults on self-care, stress management skills, mindfulness, relationships, parenting, and just simply managing all the chaos that life can send your way. Daniela is a speaker, trainer, author of the book, Balance Breakthrough, a practical guide for busy professionals to take charge of their work, life, and well-being. So she also hosts a podcast. We're going to jump right into it and meet Daniela. So bear with me. We'll be right there. As promised, I'm here with Daniela. So welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Kathy. I'm excited for us to connect.
It's going to be a fun talk. So tell me a little bit about your background, why you're doing what you're doing right now in this point in time.
Yeah. So, well, you said in my intro, you know, I've been a social worker for 30 plus years, but unfortunately I've also been through my own burnout. That was probably about 20 years ago. I was going through a divorce. My kids were super young, 4 and 6 months old, and I'm a high achiever. So I'm trying to do it all, be it all, prove that I can handle it, prove that I'm capable of doing all the things. And, you know, unfortunately I was also showing up irritable, snapping at my kids more than I wanted to, and not great at asking for help because of a lot of the internal stories I was telling myself, a lot of those limiting beliefs, and I drove myself straight into my own burnout. And so, you know, this isn't just what I do for work. This is who I've become. This has been my journey for the last 20 years. I started super small, a simple daily gratitude practice, 3 to 5 things I was grateful for each day, whether it was the sun is out because I'm living in the Northeast and that's not always happening. Maybe someone held the door for me. Maybe I had my favorite banana smoothie, just those small little things, as well as our grocery store had free childcare at the time. So I started using that, as well as joined a gym that had free childcare, and just those small little shifts of creating that space for myself in my day. Not only did I start to show up better, but my kids did as well. I was doing better at work, you know, and I started to see that ripple effect of how it was benefiting everyone around me, as well as people were coming and asking what I was doing, how was I fitting this in, or sending me, you know, pictures or things of moments they took for themselves because of something I said or did. And I realized, I think we're all looking for that validation and permission that it's okay to take time for ourselves. And so that's kind of where a lot of this began.
That's fantastic. I mean, having a 4-month-old and a toddler and a single mom and working, that's a huge, huge load. And I'm a big believer in gratitude as well. Did you start your morning with it, or did you end your day with it, or was it all throughout the...
I started with just ending my day with it. I had this little journal near my bed and I would just write, like I said, super simple things. And some days, you know, if they were hard and I just couldn't think of stuff, it was great to be able to go back and look at things, because it starts to create, you know, that new way of thinking, new way of looking at things. You know, there's so much science behind it now that I've found, you know, over the years doing my own research, that it activates a part of your brain called the RAS, the reticular activating system. And it's kind of like if you've ever gone to go buy a new car, you know, if you were going to get a red minivan, all of a sudden you start seeing red minivans everywhere. And it's not because there's more of them. It's because subconsciously that part of your brain is now turned on and looking for them. And it's the same thing with a gratitude practice. The more, you know, you start to keep track of it, the more you do start to notice it everywhere. And you become almost kind of like you said, throughout your day, all of a sudden you're like there. And, you know, creating that new neural pathway, new way of thinking is part of that huge shift that now I help people with in the formula that I work within.
It's such important work. It really, truly is. And I think that oftentimes, I mean, I go in and out of, I feel like I'm pretty optimistic, but I go in and out of doing my gratitude journaling. And it really does, when you do it, it helps you see, oh, I could be thankful for that, or I could be thankful for that. And there's always something that you can be grateful for, always.
Yeah.
Always. So talk a little bit about the formula that you've created.
So it's called the Exhausted to Empowered formula, and it's made up of three different areas: your mindset, your time planning, and then your self-care. And so that's where that mindset piece comes in the beginning, because I believe when you think differently, you feel differently. And when you feel differently, you act differently. Because mm-hmm. so many times people jump straight to the actions. They drink, you know, go straight to that self-care part. And a lot of times they're like, I'm just checking stuff off a list, or I don't feel any differently. So you really need to look at the thoughts behind it, you know, because if you're doing a yoga class, but either feeling guilty or still have your to-do list going through your head, or whatever that negative, I call mine the mean girls in my head, whatever those limiting beliefs or negative thoughts are, you know, you're not going to get those benefits. So really looking at your mindset, you know, what comes up from you, what's been ingrained at even a subconscious level growing up, even from, you know, you have to hustle hard to get ahead. You have to be available 24/7 to show you're committed. What are some of those thoughts when you sit and do nothing? You know, what does guilt start creeping in? Does panic and anxiety almost of like, I can't just sit here and do nothing. So we start with your mindset, looking at those thoughts, catching yourself, because, you know, we're not perfect. It's not about eliminating them, but being aware of them. So you can now start to reframe them and create a new thought, a new way of thinking. And then that's where then we begin looking at, okay, now that we're thinking differently, how are we going to start to do things differently? And then that leads into your time planning. I don't call it time management because I think that kind of almost assumes a level of control that realistically we just don't have, but we can plan for our time. We can be intentional with what our priorities are, because I think so many times we just have these long to-do lists of everything. And when everything has the same level of importance, nothing becomes truly important. So we prioritize what you need to do that day, maybe your top 2 to 3 things. And then I use a time bopping method that incorporates some buffer time. So it's not about stacking your day with things, but having that space in between so that either one, if life happens with unexpected things, you have some space and some ease and breathing room to manage it, or you have now free time to integrate self-care. Because when I talk about self-care, it's not about elaborate spa days and massages and getaways, even though I love those things, they're not practical on a day-to-day basis. And just like you charge your phone every single day, you have gas in your car every day, you eat every single day, you wouldn't eat on Sunday and think you're not going to be starving on Tuesday. You need to be integrating these self-care practices of recharging and investing in yourself throughout every single day. So I teach micro moments in 8 very practical areas, everything from how you eat, how you sleep, how you move, how you dress, how you decorate and organize your home, how you connect with others, how you think about money, as well as that traditional personal development like meditation, mindfulness, gratitude, journaling, and those types of things. And when you start to see these different options, you can do them as short as 30 seconds to 1 minute types of practices, all the way on up. And these micro moments can look different in different areas, different people, different days. And it makes it so much more obtainable to be consistent then with implementing them.
Yeah, I think just like gratitude, when you're used to using gratitude and writing gratitude, then you're used to also catching those micro moments. Mm-hmm. Because oftentimes, I mean, if you're super busy, and I fall into this, that okay, I have 2 minutes, but I don't do anything with it. You know, where I should just say, okay, let's get up and stretch and breathe and move and, you know, go into my red light and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Take those opportunities. And I agree, acknowledging more of them helps you see more of them so that you can acknowledge more of them, right? It goes like that.
Even just, you know, your morning cup of coffee, taking a mindful 30 seconds to actually feel the warmth of your cup, smell it, savor the taste of it. You know, as you listen to it percolating in the machine, or however you make your coffee in the morning, those types of things, integrating your senses grounds you in the present at that moment. You know, you could do a 1 minute self-care practice where you set a reminder to go off and then set a timer for 1 minute, and you don't check your email, you don't scroll on social media, you don't throw a load of laundry, and you just sit for 1 minute. Maybe focus on your breathing, maybe do some shoulder shrugs, maybe have some water. You can look outside and do, you know, mindfulness that way. But just these small bursts, science has shown even 1 minute starts to lower your heart rate, lower your cortisol levels, lower that stress level, as well as you get the dopamine hit of setting a goal and achieving it. So if you set that reminder for 5 times, now you've got a 5-minute self-care practice. Or maybe at the end of a minute, you're like, you know what? I've been another minute. I'm going to take a little walk outside and start to add some movement, you know, mm-hmm. or I'm going to send a text to that friend I've been meaning to catch up with. And so there's these small little pockets that you get those bursts of energy, because self-care isn't just about being calm and zen. It's where your confidence comes from. And it's the energy that you bring to whatever situation you're in.
I'm in full agreement with that. Absolutely. I love the fact that you talk about, you know, putting time in between your time blocks is mm-hmm. so very important. I see that a lot of people that I work with, they run late and they get stressed because they haven't put that little buffer of time in there, mm-hmm. which is important because, as you said, Danielle, it's like life happens. And yeah. sometimes we're not like right on schedule and we don't need to be stressed out about it. And the way to protect, I agree totally, wholeheartedly, yeah. Doing time management is that buffer.
Well, because then you get bumped to the bottom of your to-do list because all these other things come up now are all of a right. sudden more important than you, and you get lost in your day and you crash at the end. You're like, I don't even know what I did.
It's so funny. For those of you who are listening to my podcast, this seems to be a recurring theme that's happening in the past 3 to 4 podcasts. We're talking about self-care, taking a pause, time out. And, you know, it's all very critical stuff because as entrepreneurs, we just zoom, zoom, zoom. But mm-hmm. speaking of entrepreneurs, so I would expect that you were a social worker, you were working for the man, so to speak, or working for someone. When did you branch out? And what was the tipping point of you branching out into your own company?
I still do both. I'm retiring from my full-time job in a year. And then my business, though, it fits in because, you know, I find those pockets of time. I'm able to carve out what's important to me. And this is something that I'm passionate about and that's important to me. But along those same lines, one of the other things people don't realize is that burnout can actually come from the things you are passionate about, the things you enjoy. And so you have to be really careful when you're doing those types of things, because a lot of times people assume it's from something they don't like. But think about it. If you are at a job you don't always love, 5 o'clock comes or whatever, and you're like, bye, I'm out. You know, you've got your boundaries in place. But studies have shown that when you're following your passions, whether it's a business, your kids, or relationship, we can toss our boundaries out the window. And that makes us more susceptible because you ride those highs and lows so much more intensely. It could be very isolating. I remember talking to a new mom friend and she's like, I think you're my first adult conversation in 2 days, because she was so all in on her kids, you know, or if you're in a new relationship and you don't see your friends as much, things like that. And so recognizing that, you know, when I talk about work-life balance, there's 4 areas. It's not about everything being equal, but it's about how you adapt, pivot, have resilience, and then those boundaries, because boundaries is one of my favorite B words. People give it a bad rap. They think boundaries are bad, that it's a wall, that it's negative, but boundaries are actually so freeing for you and the people around you as far as what you're saying yes to. Boundaries are about, what are you allowing in? What are you available for? And when you not only communicate and set your boundaries, but respect your boundaries, you teach other people how to treat you, as well as you show them, you know, this is when I'm there for you and you get 100% of me, versus spreading yourself too thin, you know, checking emails when you're at your kid's soccer game, or trying to, you know, at dinner to do other things. And it's so important to have those boundaries to protect your energy, but also to, again, fill you back up by knowing that you've created this space for yourself. Like for me, I start and end my day with myself. I have a morning routine that involves some movements and meditation. Yeah. And I have a set nighttime routine that has like some skincare and reading from an actual book. It might look different every day, though. Some days I might only have 10 minutes. So I find a 5-minute yoga practice, a 5-minute meditation. Some days I'm really tired and I might only read 3 sentences before I fall asleep. Some days it's 3 paragraphs, some days it's 3 pages. But the consistency of the fact that those 2 things happen every single day is where you get the benefits from.
Mm-hmm. And I agree that boundaries are, they're not selfish, because the better boundaries you have, the more you can give back. And it also teaches others that they have permission to set up boundaries. And I think it's so very important, especially during holiday seasons, you know, to decide what you're going to do and who you're going to see. And, you know, you're not required to see people that you don't necessarily want to see. And that's a good boundary, because then you're more present for the people that you do love in your life, or, you know, that you want to be surrounded with. You have more to give them. And I remember back early in when I had a publishing agency, my biggest lesson was, it's okay to say no. And actually, it's very professional to say no. A very professional thing to know how to say no with grace. And I think that's exactly what you're speaking to right now. So let's talk about your book.
Yeah, I was so excited to get this out. I love being able to share this. So I try not to gatekeep anything, you know, as many people can access these strategies. And so I put everything regarding your mental fitness, burnout, finding work-life balance, and then the whole exhausted to empowered formula in this book. So it's kind of like a do-it-yourself playbook for helping yourself recognize, prevent, or recover from burnout. And so it has all the different strategies. It comes with a digital workbook to really help yourself. So it's not a sit down in a weekend and plow through it kind of book. It's one of those ones you kind of take some time to try different strategies, to do some self-reflection and self-assessment, and then actually start building the habits that are going to help create that success and momentum for you.
Yeah, it's going to take practice for sure.
But it's so like easy to read and practical and real life scenarios for real life people that have kids and jobs and craziness and chaos.
Which all of us do at some point in some part in our life, if not all the time. So how do you celebrate your successes? How do you stop? What do you do whenever you have a success to pause and celebrate yourself?
That's a good one. I mean, I think knowing a lot of times that I've made a difference for somebody else is really that true success for me. Knowing that, you know, sometimes I think you're just talking and you feel like, is anyone resonating with this? Is this making an impact? And so for me, just that peace of mind, that knowing that it made someone's day, someone's life a little bit easier, is kind of its own celebration. I love also just having that space and kind of practicing what I preach and being with my family. Taking that time to be with my husband, my kids, my dogs, all of that kind of thing is really grounding for me. And so that's personally how I choose to celebrate, you know, is to create more space for myself and practice.
The first part of that, I'm like, oh, she's such a social worker. I have so many friends that are social workers. That's like, it's, you know, you guys get such a thrill on helping others. I mean, I think we all do, but you folks give so much to people. And I love that you feel, you know, that you can stop and give yourself kudos for the progress that you help someone else make. Very important. Okay. So if you had to look back at your life and tell your 18-year-old self something, so a little piece of advice or a tidbit, what would your advice be?
Don't hold back. I think a lot of times, I remember actually when I was younger, first graduated from college, seeing Marie Forleo's B-School. And I was interested in finding out more and things like that. But I held myself back. I, you know, only in the last couple of years, obviously becoming an entrepreneur, opening my own business, you know, have taken that leap. And it's something that I wish, you know, maybe I would have looked into sooner. Maybe I would have explored sooner, because I think at the time that those limiting beliefs, like I said, the mean girls in my head, they were winning, you know, when it came to who was I to do that? What was possible? Those types of things. So I think I would tell her, don't hold back, you know, go for it.
Go for it. Yeah, that's great advice. I think we hold ourselves back in so many different ways, so many different times, even throughout our life, that it's important to just follow your intuition. You know, you like Marie Forleo, you follow, you know, you're like resonate, see what you can do about that.
Yeah, because we fall into what's comfortable, even if it doesn't feel like it fits.
Yeah, absolutely. So I know that you have a valuable free offer that people can download or get from you. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's the Reclaim Your Time in 10-Minute Blocks cheat sheet. It's a great free resource that not only helps you figure out how do I find 10 minutes for myself, but what do I do with it? Because a lot of times if we don't have a plan, you know, we might get some unexpected free time, but then all of a sudden we're doing some chores, scrolling on our phones, and we've lost the opportunity to really use that time intentionally. So it gives you some ways, and it doesn't have to always be alone. I think a lot of times people take that word self a little too literally, but self-care can be done with others. It can be loud. It can be laughter. You can do it with your kids. You know, like I said, this was part of my journey as my kids were growing up, and we've talked about, you know, how it's influenced how they cope and manage their stress now, the things they do. So teaching them, because they do what you do and not always what you say, you know, by modeling for them and doing these types of things together and making it part of those family practices and habits. One of the ones we have is that you always get three tries for a new recipe, which sounds really silly, but, you know, giving yourself grace, I think, is also something we don't appreciate enough as far as how powerful that can be. And so, you know, to start to integrate and make it part of those family mottos and all of that type of stuff. So it's a great way, like I said, to find 10 minutes and what to do with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Having a plan in advance for when you get that little windfall of 10. Mm-hmm. I think that's super important. That's a great little download. Make sure to check that out, you guys, because we all need, it's like having a plan for your non-planned time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're speaking my kind of language right there. We all need to have a plan. That's wonderful. Is there anything that you wanted to talk about that I haven't really asked you or that we haven't covered?
I think I just want to talk about grace a little bit more, because like I said, I think it gets underappreciated and underutilized, and we don't recognize that we talk to ourselves more than we talk to anybody else in the whole entire world. And yet for whatever reason, we're not nearly as kind with ourselves as we are to everybody else. And so, you know, to know as you're on this journey, looking at these practices, you don't have to be perfect. Nobody's perfect. I'm not perfect, you know, progress over perfection, but to give yourself the grace to mess up, to give yourself the grace to try something new and not be good at it right away. I think we've lost that as we get older, and to just enjoy doing the things you enjoy doing, regardless of, you know, what other people think or who else is involved, that type of thing, you know, to really get back into just being comfortable in your own skin and who you are, an imperfect mess that we all can be, but to allow yourself that grace that it doesn't have to always be perfect.
Yeah. And as you said earlier, turn off that little mean girl in your head and make her nice.
Yes.
Make her full of grace to say, oh, wasn't that great what you just did, Daniela? That's fantastic.
Or, you know, to add the word, I'm not good at this yet. You know, is so powerful in allowing yourself to not have to worry about having it right away.
That's so succinct. Giving yourself grace is saying the word yet. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yet gives you grace right then.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fabulous. Wow. I learned a lot from you, girlfriend.
Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad. Like I said, I love helping share this with everybody, because I feel like, you know, I'm enjoying so many different parts of my life, and I would love for everybody to be feeling like that, rather than like, oh, I'll get to that when the kids get older or when I retire or do all these things. Like, we have one life. Let's go for it now.
Well, and you're a living example that you can do a lot of things. You can launch a business while you're working. For those of you who are working out there, listen to her, because she did it with kiddos, right? She's mm-hmm. launching. She has a family. She has a full-time job, and she's able to do it, and she's successful at it. Yeah. So I'm so happy you're a guest. Yeah.
No, I'm so happy to be here, Kathy. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you guys. Until next week, you guys, we will see you then. Tune in, same time, same bat channel, and look forward to meeting the next guest. And this has been a real pleasure, Danielle. So thank you for your time.
Thanks, Kathy.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks for listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you want to hear more, feel free to subscribe on the platform of your choice. Also, if you feel so inclined, I would truly appreciate a good rating from you to me. Have a stellar day.